Bereishis chapter 18. So in the previous chapter, we had a specific revelation on a specific mitzvah of Bris Milah. What we'll have now is a new revelation, very important. And all these stories, as I've said, they have less chronological coherence. They don't go like one thing happened after the other. I have even some theory that I'm thinking now that maybe all these stories are talking about same thing or the same story or different aspects or takes on the same concepts, the same real things. But that's we're not going to get into that right now. But what we have to understand is this is a continuation of the previous discussions, right? We have the previous stories of how Avram is looking for a child and Hashem is keeping on revealing himself to him to promise him a child and to promise him the land. So there's this question of the child, there's this question of the land. And we saw earlier a story of Lot going to Sodom. So he took a different part of the land. We saw the story of Avram having the war or participating in the war with the between the four and the five kings, which has to do with who owns the land and the questions of the land. And now we had the story of Bris Milah, which was given to Avram, was also given to him for his children, for the future children. And now we have one more, the last revelation really, before two important things happen. One is Sodom gets destroyed. We'll see about that. We won't see the actual destruction of the story here. But Sodom gets destroyed, and that's the finishing of the Lot story arc that we started a long time ago. And secondly, and also after that, later we'll have the story of Yitzchak finally being born, Avram's son finally being born, which is the finishing of the arc of the question of will Sura give birth. But what the first thing in this chapter is the new revelation, or the last final revelation, which actually promises a child not only to Avram, but to Surai. And that's the important chiddush in this chapter. And we have the story. And the story begins in a very sort of domestic setting. I think this is explicit. This is what it's for. It has a header, Ve'er El Vashem, and God was revealed to him. But then it goes back to the setting, to like the domestic setting of how this happened. How does Ve'er El Vashem happen? So he's sitting at the door of his tent as the day is hot. So it's a hot day. He's sitting at the door. This is simply, if it's hot, you don't sit inside. So he's sitting outside. And Avram picks up his eyes, or Avram now, right? I should say. Avram picks up his eyes and says, sees three men standing in front of him. Nitzavim alav. And Nitzavim usually has a meaning of like standing and like waiting for something or doing something. It's not just standing there. But anyways. So what does he do? He runs towards them. He bows down to them. And he invites them into his house. There's many interpretations of who these three men were. Later, it seems like they're the Malachim. I'm not going to go into there's controversies here. But it seems like this vision has something to do with the vision of the angels. And whenever we see the word angel, we see earlier by Hugo when she had saw an angel. And it says first the Malach Hashem. And then it says, V'atikra Hashem Hashem ha-dover aleh ata el-roi. She called God's name el-roi, the God that I've seen. It seems like, to me, I would say something like angels seem to be the visual aspect. When someone has a vision, usually and the vision is ascribed to an angel. You don't see God himself, you see an angel, but it's ascribed to the same thing. So seeing an angel can be sometimes described as seeing God. So, and if these three men were turned out to be the angels, later explicitly called Anoshim, explicitly called Malochim, Anoshim and Malochim, it seems like this is the basic story here, is that he sees men, but turns out that these men are angels, and turns out that that's a vision of God. Whether he means that God is sort of in that form, or it's sort of like God's messenger, which was what the word malach means, a messenger, an ambassador, in that form. But that's considered to be seeing God, because the question is not God himself. The question is always how God gets revealed to people. And when you see some revelation that's ascribed to God, by whichever, however you know how that, you know that that's God, then that's called seeing God. So he saw God, and this is the story of how he saw God. And we back into this like very domestic setting. He's sitting at his tent store. He sees three men, and he runs towards them. And this is how he used to act. And this is where we get the famous idea of Avram as being a machnes arachim. He was a host. He always hosted guests. And we see this in this story. Of course, that story is that turns out that he was not only hosting men, he was hosting angels. So something to do with what Avram is in this duality. He says, my lords, Adonai. Interestingly, Avram is the first that uses this title for God also. In the previous chapter, said Adonai Hashem, Adonai Tkevavkei. And here he says, my lords, if I found pleasure in your eyes, please don't go away. Al natav malavdech means don't go further. Stay here. Come take some water, wash your feet, recline under the tree. I'll get you some bread and you will eat and then you will leave. So he's giving them a very simple thing. Like, there's these travelers. How about you make a rest stop at my place? Ki alken avartem alavdechem just means because you have. Ki alken just means because you have. Not because. It's just a longer way of saying it. And so they said, yes, do as you have said. It's interesting. They don't say, we will do what you asked. They said, you will do what you said, you spoke. And we have the description of Avraham actually doing that. So he rushes to the tent to Surah. Again, Avraham and Surah, right? This is where we get their new names. He says, rush, make three suth, which is a lot apparently, of kemach, soiles, make from that ugos, which seems to be something like a cookie or something that gets baked fast. I think that's the word. Ugos is something that doesn't take as long to bake. Later in Bailoit, which hates ugos matzos, we know that matzos are made quickly, but this is also, I think, also the same thing. And Avraham runs to the cattle. He takes a good and soft young calf and he gives it to Nar, like we saw Avraham's household was a large household. He had servants or whoever, young men who helped him, and they rushed to do it. And third thing he takes is milk products, some butter, some milk, and then also the calf that he made, and he gives it to them, and he's standing over them. In other words, he's serving them, and they're eating. It's interesting that there's like this split of work, like the woman makes the bread, and the man does the grilling or the meat part. That seems to be have been the way of things for a long time. Anyways, now we have the discussion between these three men, which seems to be, after this discussion, we'll find that they're not men at all, and Avraham. So they ask him, where's Surah? And he says, what do you mean? She's right here in the tent. So they were outside under the tree, obviously. So he's saying, like, here in the tent. It's not clear what they mean to say. Like, are they asking her to come to the discussion? We'll see later. In a second, that means she's standing there and she's listening, but they're not directly talking to her. That's an interesting point. Vayomer, and he says, and it's interesting that it starts Vayomer Elev, and it says Vayomer, and he said, who is he? We are to understand in the end that this is someone important. He says, I will return to you at this time, like this time. Ka'es Chaya, I'm not sure the word Chaya means. Ka'es, at this such a time, and Surah will have a son. Now, Surah was listening to all of this at the door of the tent. V'hu Achrav, it seems like behind him, something like she's standing out at the door. You should imagine like the scene where they're all sitting outside in the front of the under the tree, and she's like standing at the door and sort of listening and eavesdropping under the conversation. Now we know, and the pasuk tells us, Avraham and Surah were old. Surah has already stopped to have her period. So Surah was laughing. She said, wow, after I have become old, I've become used up, I will become young again. And my lord, Avraham, is also old. It's not like he's young, getting any younger either. And now, Vayomer Hashem. Suddenly, this Vayomer has a title. It says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said to Avraham. And we should, somewhere in between this Vayomeru, Vayomer, Vayomer, the speaker switched from this Anoshem, these men, to Hashem. And Hashem says, why is Surah laughing? She's saying, well, how can I have a son? I'm so old. Is anything hidden from God? Is something hard for God? I will come back to you again. Lema, to the correct time, to the appointed time, I will be back. As the time is now. I'm not sure what alive means. It seems to be like an idiom that means something like as now and in good health or something like that. And Surah will have a son. And now Surah realized that she's not trusting in God. So she denies it. She says, no, I've not laughed. And Vayomer, again, it doesn't say who, says, no, you have laughed. I think that this dialogue, like many dialogues, I don't think that they're meant to be read entirely as like something that first this happened and then that happened. The dialogue is a way of expressing in time a dialectic, a discussion that should be going on. And this, we have already had Avraham doing the same reaction, Vayitzchak, and saying, will I have a child? And in almost the same words. And God wasn't mad at that. And this is like a famous question of why. What I think is that this story is meant to express exactly this. It's meant to express how there's something very marvelous in this. Nifla, right? There's anything marvelous, like far from me, right? There's something very marvelous, something very unnatural, something very unexpected in this sort of having a child. And the pasuk explains, like, physics on the physical level, what is unexpected in this? What is so marvelous about it. And it's that Sodor is already too old physically to have children. And we're supposed to hear afterwards God saying, well, it's true that in human terms this is a problem, but it's not in divine terms. And there's nothing weird for God doing that. That's the story, and that's it's expressed in this way. And then, like, when you realize that, you say, well, I shouldn't even have laughed. It wasn't anything funny. Of course, like, this question, how did she even know it was God speaking before? But I think these are dialogues meant to express the point. It's not like any dialogues in the stories are not here because, like, to do the transcription of what happened. Whether it happened that way or not, the point of it being here is for that reason. And that's why we have this whole dialogue. Okay, and now, this is the important thing. Now we have the next part of this. The next part of this story, which is, there's again, the it's weird to understand the connection between one and the other thing. But the next part of this story is this story of how the story of these malachim or anoshim going to destroy Sodom. Now, how we're supposed to understand this, it doesn't have it doesn't give us a clear explanation of what does it mean, how do these men destroy Sodom, what are they going to do exactly. But what we have is like this Vashem Omar, and we notice that Hashem has already been spoken to Avram. And this Vashem Omar means something like he said to himself. Doesn't say Beliba, but we should understand Vashem Omar. And he spoke, and this is like whenever there's like this kind of and this, it's like a kind of like narrator's note saying like, and this is why the next thing happened. Like we had V'huyoy Medelem, right? And he has been. It's like something that, it's not an action in the story, it's giving background to the story. So there's a background here. The background is that Hashem said, I will not hide from Avram. It's interesting that a moment ago we said, Hayipole me Hashem dover, and Pole is very similar to Hamachasani. Is there something hidden from me, like in the sense of unattainable for me? Is there something that I'm going to make unattainable for Avram? Is there some information that I'm withholding from him? Because I know Avram will be a great nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. In other words, will want to be him. He will be the best. Will be accepted as the best. And why is this? Because I know that he will command his children and his household. So it's again important that Avram's household is equal to his children here. It's not only a biological thing. To follow, to keep the ways of Hashem, which is to do tzedakah mishpat. And therefore, I will bring on Avram what I promised him. And what this literal means, and I think Rashi says this also, is that since Avram is going to be the lord of this land, I've promised it to him, I'm going to need to sort of discuss with him what I'm going to do with it. This seems to be an important part of what it means even to be the Avram, to be Avram, to be the one who inherits the land. It means that whatever happens, the land is in some sense in your responsibility. And again, whatever this really is supposed to express, God is saying, we need to discuss with you. I need to tell him. And telling him doesn't just mean like telling him, it means discussing, as we'll see in the story. So Hashem tells Avram, it's very interesting, like usually we'll have like maybe even earlier in the story of the Torah Flug, we have like Hashem being the one who the judgment is brought to. And here Hashem is sort of bringing the judgment to Avram. He's bringing the case to him. He's saying, Zakas Nev Amerikrev. Now Zakas means something like a legal complaint, like a summons where you are a petition. And he's saying a petition, that the petition of Sodom, which means there's always like a petition, it's a complaint. It's saying something where, you know, there's a problem here, is great. And their sin is very heavy. An interesting language of heaviness for sin. We have it already by Cain. Good love in him. And so there's a heaviness in it. And therefore, this is really something that happened. I will go down and see if the complaint, have they done as the complaint is. Have they done as complaint? And no, if not, I will know. And it doesn't really say that he went down. And maybe these men coming are the sort of the vision or the explanation of Hashem going down to Sodom to see what's going on. And this is like, we get like a break in the story. It's like, and these men turned away and they went to Sodom. And Avram is still speaking with God. Then Emet Lefnei Hashem. So there's Hashem and there's Dan Hashem. There's an interesting discussion here. Now, so Avram goes, Vayigash Avram Vayamar. I think that also this is a legal terminology. It's like someone who approaches the bench of the judge and speaks. So Avram now approaches Hashem and he says, Ha'af tis batzadik, will you kill or will destroy a tzaddik, a righteous imerosh with an unrighteous? Maybe there are 50 righteous people in the city. Will you not give clemency? Will you not carry the sin, right? Literally, it's like the sin is too heavy. Will you carry the sin because of them? That wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be just to may have the righteous, the tzaddik, and have the same as the non-righteous. That one, you're the judge of the whole world. You must be justice. It's very interesting that this is like the first, one of the, maybe one of the first, at least, maybe kind, complaint of justice relative to God, brought to God in the story, in the Tanakh. And it's based on this thing where God should be able to separate between the tzaddik and the rasha. And this is very interesting because nature doesn't really work like this. Like if a city gets destroyed, then the reality of it is, nature of it is that, you know, if there's an earthquake or something, everyone dies. There isn't a difference in tzaddik and rasha. And this seems to be like the main thing that Avraham is trying to establish or trying to create somehow, where that this seems not fair. And maybe you would say something like, maybe humans have a problem, but God should not have a problem separating the good from the bad. That's the important, we see it much later in Moshe, and there's a lot of back and forth about this specific question. This is Avram's first question, but not only that, you see, he's not only saying, it's okay if you hurt the bad people, you should not hurt the good people. He's saying that the good people should also cause the whole city to be saved, and it's precisely because of this logic. You can't destroy half a city. When a city destroys everyone, so if there are some people who it's not fair to destroy, therefore you shall have to save the whole city. That's basically the logic here, and that makes the collective sort of judgment aspect actually has a good side to it, has a side where it should lead to leniency in the judgment. And then we have the rest of the discussion, which is just back and forth over this point. And it's also very interesting. Like, why did we have this whole long discussion? And Hashem said, sure, you're right. If I will find 50 tzaddikim, I will allow the whole city to be standing because of them. So now Avram answers and he says, okay, I've just sparring. And he gives first like a preface, the humility. I've just sparring to speak to my Lord. I am just dust and sand. What about if there's 5 missing from these 50? And this is a very smart rhetorical move, right? He's not saying, what if there's only 45? He's saying, what if these 50 are missing 5? You just gave me that if there's 50, so let me, what if there's 5 missing? If you'll notice that he's doing a very good job of being a lawyer here. And Hashem says, no problem. If I'll find 45, and Hashem, like, I know you're talking about 45. I can do the math. And he continues to speak to him. He adds in addition. And he says, maybe there's 40. No problem. And then he goes again. Don't be upset, my Lord. I will speak. Maybe there's 30. No problem. There's 30. He says, no, I'm just starting to speak. In other words, like, give me the permission. I'm starting to speak to you. Maybe there's going to be 20. And the same thing. No problem. If there's 20, I won't destroy the city. And then he says again, Allah Yichar. He keeps on alternating between these languages, right? It started with half this band, then it was like Hinuna Alti, and then it was just said it, and then it was Al Yichar, then it's Hinuna Alti, and then again Al Yichar. I will just speak only once, that's what it says. This is the last time. Give me one last chance. If you find 10 people, and Hashem says, I will not destroy the city because of those people. And that's the end of the discussion. We assume that that was the conclusion. If there will be 10 people, will not destroy. Vayelech Hashem leaves the scene, so goes back as he finished to speak to Avram. Avram also left, so that's like a formula for many times we find this formula of 2 people meeting, the meeting, and then each one went his own way. And the next story is we should interpret as Hashem coming to Sodom, or his messenger coming to Sodom, and seeing that there are not any 10 good people.